Hello.
Start with any remarks, or you want us just?
I'm just happy to be here. 20 years is a long time. It seemed like time flew, and being here and being a part of what I see now, still improvements. Things are still going on. Changes are still being made. We've come a long way, and I'm excited. Jonathan took me through a little tour this morning when I was sitting in the cafeteria, and just to see from the old stadium till this stadium was built to now, it's going to a whole nother level. I told Stacey and some of the other guys, if they had all this when I was here, I was here a long time anyway, coming in early and leaving late, I probably would have a sleeping bag and probably would never leave the facility.
The spirit of why you're here is 20 years. What do you remember about that day, you know, when you held up the Patriots jersey, number one, you know?
For those of you guys that were here that long ago, I don't know how many, but I didn't come in that when I got drafted. I ended up staying and coming in the next morning, so a lot of the media was in the airport upset at me because I came late. But I didn't go to New York. I wanted to spend the time with my friends and family, and I was surprised. My only contact with the Patriots is when I came in for my visit. Spoke with Bill Parcells and the owner and everybody, of course, and that was it. No phone calls, no extra workouts, no personal workouts. And Dallas had already made the trade pretty much, Alvin Harper for the fifth pick to move up in the draft to take me. So I had four representatives at my draft party from the Cowboys. So I thought I was going to be a Cowboy. And then the phone ring at number four, right before the fifth pick where they were going to take me. And it was Parcells. So.
Up with America's team?
Yeah. I mean, it all worked out, right?
Kind of a two-part question. The Patriots' reputation, I mean, they came off a few tough years. And what your thoughts were actually going to the Patriots. And then the second part of that is it kind of surreal to know that you were one of the first pieces to help really turn this entire thing around?
Well, your first question is, I didn't even know a football team existed out here. I mean, I'm from the West Coast. I'm from California. And I played against Drew in college, so I knew who Drew Bledsoe was at Washington State. I played against Drew. I thought he was one of the best quarterbacks I've ever played against. And I also knew who Bill Parcells was, who had come in a year before to be the head coach, because he coached one of my favorite players, Lawrence Taylor, with the Giants. And, of course, he had won a couple of Super Bowls there. So outside of that, I didn't know much about New England football and the Patriots because – I didn't really follow them. I mean, I knew about Andre Tippett, guys, the linebackers, guys like that, but I didn't follow the football program. And, you know, up until Mr. Kraft took over and started adding pieces and we started winning games, nobody really respected the football out here. So I think from Mr. Kraft taking over and bringing in Parcells, bringing in players, and really putting his imprint on this organization and changing things around, being in the Super Bowl 2 years later from the time I was drafted, it's pretty remarkable. It's pretty incredible what happened with this franchise and some of the things that took place and the turnover. And to see it where it is now as one of the best organizations in sports, not just football, is and having some I would say, you know, we always say we're all spokes on the wheel here. You know, we're all a little spoke that make the wheel go. It's special for me to be a part of something, to the part of the foundation, to help put it on the map and to see where it is now.
What did you think when you saw the old Foxborough Stadium?
Well, believe it or not, being at SC, our facilities were pretty old too and pretty traditional. We call it tradition. The Coliseum and our practice facility, Heritage Hall, our work facility was right under that. Now it's a museum. I mean, I'm like, you guys wait till we leave and get old and get out of there and you start. It's incredible now, but this was home. You know, the leaks in the training room when I was getting taped during, you know, when it rained and all the things that, like I was telling, we were talking earlier, the concrete right outside the grass area. If you go too far in the end zone, you got your cleats, you're sliding, falling mm-hmm. all over the place. That was home. It was home. That's all we knew. That's all we really cared about. I mean, I think we were interested in in football and winning games, and that's the mentality that I had coming in under Bill Parcells. I mean, we were focused, we had that tunnel vision, and we didn't really care about, you know, the fancy, you know, really nice stadiums. Now, when we traveled and we went to other facilities and their visitors' stuff was better than our main stuff, then we'd look around and be like, whoa, okay. You know, this will kind of be nice to have. And then finally we got our new stadium, so we were happy.
How would you like Patriots fans to remember what you did here in terms of, you know, your play on the field?
Well, as far as the fans, you know, it took some time to become a fan, right? Really? To become a real fan and kind of overthrow, you know, the Red Sox and the Celtics, because there was a lot of sports history in this town when I got here, and it was a Red Sox town. I mean, just be real. And football was kind of third, you know, on that plateau until we started winning games. But I just think that hardworking, dedicated, you know, sacrifice, we were committed, and it was a team thing with us. I was talking to one of our guys earlier, and I said we made the word team sexy in the NFL. I think our class, our group, that foundation we had, and that wasn't popular back then, because it was more about individuals and individual accolades, and we kind of put the thing together that if we all came together, we can make our individuals popular, but do it through the team concept, and not only that, you can win and win championships. So for me, that was what's important. And then we gave our fans something to be proud of and something to be happy about and bragging rights. And, you know, whenever you faced the Patriots, the outsiders, you didn't have to like us or love us, but you had to definitely respect us.
Is there anything specifically from your playing career individually that you're most proud of, outside of the championships, obviously, I would think, you know, but just from an individual perspective for you that stands at the top of the list?
You know, with things that are going on now with some of these guys and these younger kids, I'm proud of the fact that the hard work, one, paid off, and we did it the right way. I think that's really important. Being a professional, there's a lot of things that's pulling our young players, you know, in the wrong direction. And I'm just proud that in that era, there was always something going on. Nobody's perfect. I'm not saying that. But, we had a lot of professionals on our team, and we played the game the right way. We played the game hard and on and off the field. So I'm really proud of that.
Any thoughts on the Patriots tonight? What you might, I know it's
hot. I'm sure, you know, Bill is unpredictable, so we all know that to not know what's going on.
Willie, what was your impressions of Bill Belichick? You know, he had been in Cleveland, he'd come here, you guys had a rough first year.
They beat us in the playoffs my rookie season.
But, I mean, looking back, when he came here, and then I think he had, you know, and then the tough start in 01, did you guys believe that this is what he would become?
Well, you know, I spent some time with Bill during the draft process as well. He was at number 9, I believe, and he was one of the guys that did come out to SC and interview, and we spent some time together. So I figured if Dallas wasn't serious about what they were talking about, I would probably definitely was going at number 9 to Cleveland. I'm glad that didn't work out, but I ended up going to Cleveland anyway, but not, you know, after we accomplished everything. But I respected Bill because of, you know, who he coached with previously. And he was on our staff in 96 as a DB coordinator. So we were familiar with each other as well. And I believed. I mean, I didn't really care. I believed in Pete. You know, he just didn't get it done. He got it done now. And I think we all learn. We all grow. And sometimes it takes a little trial and tribulations. A lot of these coaches that win these Super Bowls, they start off as losing. I mean, look at Coughlin. He didn't start off with a winning record where he was. He went to the Giants, and same with Pete Carroll, same with Bill Belichick. So I don't really buy it. You know, I get the whole Cleveland thing, but as far as coaching and knowing what to do and how to get players prepared and play games, I mean, I'm sure Hans, he's one of the best to ever do it in NFL history, and he's continuous. You know, he continues to do it. So I'm sure there were a little doubt when he first came in, but he's cleared all that shit up.
Willie,
since from that time till now.
Now that you're on the media side of the fence, did you find it hard when you first got into the NFL Network gig that to be critical of players, having been a player yourself and having heard the stuff from the other side?
Not really. I mean, it's a way you could be critical and you could talk to players. What I like to do, and it's tough now, especially with your friends, but, I mean, you have to do your job. But, you know, the one thing I like to do, if I'm going to be critical, then I'm going to also have a solution of why or what needs to happen for a certain player to do something better or a certain situation to get better. I'm not one of those guys that's just going to go on and just beat somebody down constantly and try to make a name off of myself by downing coaches, players, and organizations. But if you're going to say something, then offer a solution as well. If you're going to be critical of a quarterback or a linebacker or a player, then tell him what he needs to do to get better. You know, offer a little something, or, you know, you got to be able to break it down. So I think I find kind of a happy medium on that side, because I can from my standpoint, you know, I look at it a little bit different. I'm not one of those guys that's, oh, I'm just going to trash this guy. That's not really me.
There are a lot of different opinions on Clowney. If you were the Texans, would you take him?
No. I mean, I wouldn't. I think we've seen a lot of really talented players come through the league, and I think he's exceptional talent-wise. I just don't know if he really loves the game of football and how much he's going to put into day in, day out, what it really takes to be a true professional. That's just my personal opinion. It just seems like all football players, especially in my position, the DN, outside linebacker, we all have switches. And for most of you guys who covered me when I was here, if somebody said something about me, I took it personal. If somebody said I didn't work hard enough or I was going to get my ass kicked by a player of upcoming week or whatever the case may be, I would take it personal, and that switch would go off. In my opinion, I don't always see that switch. Somebody tells him his work ethic isn't there. Somebody says that they don't know if he's going to be consistent or his motor. You know, I don't really see that. And it has to be fit. The other thing you have to look at when it comes to Clowney, do you have enough guys in that locker room? Here we had enough guys. So anybody could come into our locker room and he would have to get on board. He didn't have a choice because everybody was on the same page. When you have a young player like that, big personality, and they're talking more about him than more than 50, 60% of the guys that's already in the league. Once he comes through that door, how many guys do you have in that locker room when he's not doing what he's supposed to do, when he's not working hard enough, when he's not putting forth the effort? How many guys, maybe J.J. Watt on that defensive side, and that's it, can go up to him and say anything, and he'll respect it, he'll digest it and actually do it, or maybe he won't. So you got to look at that too. So I, you know, maybe if he's going to San Fran or somewhere like that with other players there, I don't know. You know, I put a lot of stock in Romeo Crennel. I put a lot of stock in Mike Vrabel, but they can't go out. It's different when you're a coach and you're not in the locker room with those guys day in and day out. So I think from that perspective, he'll be fine. But from the other perspective, I just think it's going to be tough for that particular team.
Would you take instead?
The best fit? For me, they need a quarterback. I don't care how good you are defensively. We saw that time and time again. You have a great defense, but in this league, you have to be able to score points. And if you got young talent on the offensive side, you got a running game, you got a good, solid defense already. Of course, Clowney, if he came in and did whatever he was supposed to do the right way, he would make them five times better as a defense. But they already had that problem. They saw it with Matt Schaub. They tried it with T.J. Yates. It didn't work. Case Keenum, that experiment went wrong. So Fitzpatrick, I mean, he's a turnover waiting to happen, in my opinion, to be honest with you. So who's going to lead that team offensively? Unless you find somebody in free agent, and I don't think they did that. And if you pick a guy, maybe you could trade down. Maybe you don't have to take him at one. Maybe you could trade down and get a really good prospect, and he fits the system. But they got a really good team. Remember, that team was 13-3 the year before last. So they got to get back on track.
Patriots, final question. Patriots did a lot of improvements this offseason, the secondary, so on and so forth.
guess, what do you view as the one place that they should address in the draft, either at 29 or wherever else?
I mean, that's tough. I mean, I think DB was one. I think they did that in the offseason, bringing in Revis and Browner. We're a little light because of injury. What happened with Kelly and Vince, those guys, Mayo. I think it's important to have that building block at the front seven. So I think if you're going to find somebody, you're going to need that impact player at rush end or DT. Our issue is if you got Chandler Jones going, if you got Nikovich going, and you're going to probably need somebody inside too as well to press the pocket and cause havoc inside. We see what the one-man show with the Texans can do, J.J. Watt. You know, we just think if he had somebody on the outside on a consistent basis with him, you know, causing havoc. So, and then always, you know, all the Patriot fans, everybody always wants a big-time receiver to come in here so Brady can throw the ball for 5,000 yards and, you know, make big plays down the field. I think they got a good core group of guys, young guys, but I just don't think there's that super number one guy yet on the team. You got Gronk when he's healthy. I mean, I guess he's the number one guy when he's healthy 100%, but not at the receiver position. There's a lot of guys. I mean, it all depends on need, fit, system, type of you know, system they're going to run. That's what it always comes down to. All these mock drafts we see, all these hypothetical picks going to certain places, you really don't know unless you're the team and you know what type of system you want to run, what guy fits those systems, and what guy – take a guy high, he's going to have to play a lot. You know, you don't want a guy playing 20, 30 plays a game because he's a great player. You don't pay a guy or take a guy that high if he's not going to play or be an every down player and be an impactful player on your team. So when you're picking that low, it's a good problem because you're winning games, right? You're in the AFC Championship. You're winning a lot of games, but at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to get up unless you do something crazy to get a guy like Clowney or a guy like Khalil Mack or some of these other guys, C.J. Mosley that's in the draft, or whoever you deem as one of your top prospects defensively. All right, guys.